Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hello, everyone. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. But all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am feeling enthused because tonight we will continue our study out of the book of Matthew. Now, we know that this study will expound upon the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the gospel or good news of Matthew the Apostle. It gives us a scenario of Jesus' life as prescribed by just one of his 12 apostles. Many new concepts are revealed in 28 chapters of this manuscript, and the theologians agree that Matthew's version of events are written from a Jewish perspective, meaning from a viewpoint of Jewish learning traditions. Now, as I highly suggest always, that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have a pen and pencil ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, which I like to consider it, during which time you may ask questions or comment, or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank all of those who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using, my precious brothers and sisters. So thank you so very much. Okay, as our theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said through Paul the Apostle, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now the promise is that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh if you walk in the Spirit. And that's taken from Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Jesus said again through his brother, his half-brother James, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. So the promise is that patience will be what you will overcome and have if you count it all joy when things confront you. Jesus said through Peter the Apostle, For if these things be in you, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, love, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. So the promise is that you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus if you have what is considered in Peter's writing as the Christian principles of faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and love. Okay, my brothers and sisters, so the question is, for this hour again, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we go into the lesson, I want to do as I always do, remind you that the Bible is written in code, meaning in mysteries, in secrets, in parables, in prophecies, in proverbs, and in paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, or chapter 12. Now, there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and I have written approximately 78 instructions for this series of study. And we're going to start with chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. Chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. And the instruction is instruction number 33 out of a 78. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father is my brother and my sister. That's what Jesus said in this writing. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father is my brother and sister. And this is what the text says, Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50. It says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But Jesus answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who is my brethren? And then he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So what Jesus is telling the people, he's telling, if you want to have a relationship with him, a close relative relationship with him, you must do the will of God the Father that is in heaven. Now we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how the psalmist identified the same, comparing and agreeing. And we're going to go to Psalms 100, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 3, Psalms 100, verse 1 through 3, and this is going to give us an understanding of that. This is what Psalms 100, 1 through 3 says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye this, that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So if you want to be the sheep of God's pasture, you must obey God. That's what this is saying. That's the tie-in. And now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that there are many members of God's body, and all have different functions, but all are one body. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? There are many of us doing different things, but as long as we are doing the will of God, we all are a part of that. And that's what I want to get you to understand in this particular instruction. Okay, now we're going to go to the next instruction, instruction number 34. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. and we will continue to go through the instruction after the first break.
Tim, what's the best piece of advice that you have ever been given?
That's a really, really good question. I would say the best piece of advice would be formed around the idea of this is not our home. You know, mm-hmm. Philippians tells us that we're citizens of heaven. Heaven is our ultimate home. So why spend a life building up for a place that we're going to leave? But I would rather spend a life building up for the place that we're going to go to, right? So all my stuff, I want it to be there. There's no U-Hauls behind the hearse, you know? So guess what? We can't take it with us. So you know what? I'd rather spend a life of building up there, building God's kingdom, sharing the good news of the gospel, spending a life built on eternity, the things that are going to last forever. And in my opinion, the things that are going to last forever from this earth, or God, His Word, people, and rewards. And so we better spend a life focused on things that are going to last for eternity. When I'm spending time with God, that's going to last for eternity. When I'm His Word is going to last for eternity. When we're loving, helping, caring, serving people, that's going to last for eternity. And what we do for Him and the rewards, that's going to last for eternity. The Bible's clear in so many different ways, and I think the greatest form of a reward is hopefully that moment where we get a well done, my good and faithful servant. But I think it's going to be just so much more intimate than that. That would be the best piece of advice, kind of all summed up into one, is let's live for our ultimate home, not just our temporary home.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, praise the Lord. Here we are going to continue with this instruction. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. So turn your Bible sources or your with me to chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. And keep in mind, we're going to be looking at this instruction as I read the text to you. Jesus Christ teaches in parables. All right, and at the beginning of the show, I told you that the Bible is full of mysteries, and one of the mysterious parts of it are the parables. And Jesus is telling us that he teaches in parables. And this is what he says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10 through 15. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. My brothers and sisters, that's very important. You want to be his mother or brother or sister, you must do the will of God. It's given unto those who do the will of God to know the secrets. Verse 12 says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever have not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. That is so critical, that those of us who labor with love in the vineyard, doing the will of God, shall receive more. But those who are not laboring with love in the Lord's garden, even that which they have, meaning the ability to do that, will be taken away from them and given to us who labor with love in that vineyard. Verse 13 says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and they hear not, neither do they understand. If you are not applying, then you are denying God. You must do the will of God, not just say the will of God. Verse 14 says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and ye shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, they are closed, that at any time they shall see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's the key. We all have a time for conversion. We are not born into Christianity. We are graduated in after we believe, and that is when we're converted. So those who are doing the will of God shall receive more than the normal. But those who are not doing the will of God, even that which they have, what that which was available to them, that talent that they have, will be taken away and given to those who are doing the will of God. Now what we're going to do is go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to see how the prophet told Israel about the same. We're going to go to Isaiah. Turn with me with your Bible sources to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 7, or verse 8 through 11. And this is what the prophet says. The prophet says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That is telling us until the end of time, it's going to be this way, that those who respond to the will of God shall receive the understanding and shall see and know. But those who do not, it shall be taken away from them. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that if you cannot believe, have faith on what you hear, then the understanding will be limited. For example, you cannot know God unless you believe that he exists. That is what I'm trying to say, my brothers and sisters. As we come into this world, we're not even aware of a God. But then we have access, faith cometh by hearing, and that gives us our opportunity to respond to this. But if we're not applying it, then we're denying it. And that's what I'm trying to share with you in this instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 13 again. We're going to get another instruction from chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verse 54 through 58. Verse 54 through 58. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text to you. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. My brothers and sisters, very significant. A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. That means that at home, you are good to go in the word of God. When you get outside of the home, in your own house and in your own home, you can be denied, even if they are responding to you favorably outside, away from home. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, this is what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 through 58. It says, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? And is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many works or mighty works there because of their unbelief. So that is telling us exactly what I just mentioned, that it happens that those who knew you before you were converted, before you started practicing Christianity, They are sometimes the ones that will not believe that you're genuine, but that should not stop you from continuing to do your work in the Lord's kingdom. Now let's go to the Old Testament compliment, and we're going to look at 1 Kings, and we're going to see 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 through 4, how this applies and agrees with what we just read about honor except in your own home and in your own country. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 through 4. This is what the writer says to Israel. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam, who was king at that time, stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, O altar, thou hast the Lord. Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense unto thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord had spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the sayings of the man of God, the prophet, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up so that he could not pull it out again to himself. So that shows you that the prophet, in this instance, all of those who heard the prophecy of God denied it. And that's what happened in the Old Testament. And that's the connection, comparison, that the thing is that a prophet is doomed to be ridiculed because of the word of God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that those who are willing to speak God's truth to the power will either be ignored, persecuted, or killed. That's significant, my brothers. Now what we're going to do is go and have a commercial break.
What are you going to do with the time you have left? What are you going to do with the time you have left? I say that if you don't reposition yourself, you could miss the best time in your life. If you don't know what time it is, time will get away from you, and you won't know where it went. The worst thing in life is not money getting away from you. It's not people getting away from you. It's time. Where did it go? I am my parents' age. My mother was sitting up talking with her sisters several years ago, and they were sitting up and they were drinking some coffee. Then they said, Girl, where are all the old people? Said, where's Miss Susie and Miss Helen and Miss Reggie May and all the old people? And I was sitting over there thinking, y'all are the old people now. And before I could get through thinking it, they were gone. And my hair was white. And my afro was gone. What are you going to do with the time you have left?
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher,
Hallelujah, Pete.
Hallelujah, my precious brothers and sisters. Let's do it again. We're going to go on to the next chapter of Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to see what is said in the text concerning verse 14 through 21. Verse 14 through 21 is what we're going to be reading, and this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus feeds 5,000. This is what Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 through 21 says about that. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it came, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves some victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The point of this is that God will feed the sheep of his pasture. And this is an indication of him doing it physically as well as spiritually. But this is a physical indication of that. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with what we just read. Let's go. Turn your Bibles with me or your sources to chapter 34 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, we're going to look at verse 11 through 15, and this is what the prophet said about the feeding. This is what Ezekiel said in chapter 34, verse 11 through 15. Ezekiel says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a great pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and there shall be, and there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." And again, this is telling us that God is going to feed us. He is going to provide what we need. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters. Jehovah Jireh is the term for us to know, and use it means God provides. If you dedicate your life to Jesus Christ, he will provide for you your needs, not your wants necessarily. But that is what I'm trying to share. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And again, not your need, not your wants necessarily, but your needs. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. We're going back to Matthew chapter 14. There's another instruction we're going to get from chapter 14 of Matthew, and we're going to look at verses 26 through 31. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you, my brothers and sisters. Faith is the only way to succeed with God. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? Faith, believing in God. Faith is the only way to succeed with God. And this is what Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 through 31 says about that. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're again looking at faith is the only way to succeed with God. And we just read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 26 through 31, that Jesus bade Peter to walk on water to come to him. And when Peter saw that the water was water, when he realized that it was a physical feat that shouldn't be, he starts sinking, but he was saved anyway because he reached out through faith and asked Jesus to help him. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to our Old Testament complement. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 8, and we're going to see how it compares and agrees with this faith that we must have in order to succeed with God. This is what Solomon told Israel. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. So that is telling us through the proverb that if we believe in God, that's trust, that's part of faith, that we will be successful in God. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It is impossible to please God without faith or belief. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is critical, my precious brothers and sisters, that if you don't believe, you cannot achieve. So to be successful with God, this is what we must do. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to this time go to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at verses 1 through 14 in chapter 15. And this is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to as I read the verse. Follow the will of God and not the traditions of men. This is so critical today, more especially than ever, because we are taught in school our ABCs. But to follow God, your ABCs are incidental. You must follow the will of God and not the will of man or the traditions that you've been taught about the will of man. And this is what Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 14 says. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandments of God of non-effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, and this is what he's telling those Pharisees, that they said, that if you are doing good for God, you don't have to honor your mother and father. That is what is hypocritical. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said about that. Jesus, still speaking, said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouths, honored me not, honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. So Jesus did, of course, but this is going beyond what I was going to share. Follow the will of God and not the traditions of men. And this is what Jesus was saying in this parable that he gave to the people and the Pharisees. Now what we're going to do, we're going to go to our Old Testament complement, and we're going to see in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, how this compares and agrees with following the will of God and not the traditions of men. This is what the writer in 1 Kings, verse 16, verse 25 and 26 says. But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. He was following the traditions of his fathers, for he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sins wherewith he had made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. All through the books of Kings and Chronicles, it tells of the many kings that ruled over Israel and of Judah who were following the traditions of men and were denying the will of God. And it got Israel in trouble to the extent that Israel was banished. First, the Assyrians came and wiped out Israel, the 10 tribes. Then the Babylonians came and put the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, into captivity. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that man can only show you how to wrestle with life and death, but God gives you eternal life exclusively. Man can show you how to maintain physically, but man can't show you how to maintain spiritually, and that's the key. That's what I'm trying to share with you in this particular instruction. Okay, let's go back now to the book of Matthew, and we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 15 again, and we're going to go to verse 29 in Matthew 15, verse 29 through 38. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. Now, we've heard this once before, but we're going to look at it and read it again. It says, Jesus feeds the 4,000. Remember before, he fed the 5,000. Now, Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 38 tells us that Jesus feeds the 4,000. And this is what the text tells us. Then Jesus answered and said, this is Matthew chapter 15, and we're looking at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, that they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus said to his disciples unto him, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And he said, 7, and a few fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave them to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. So this is telling us, and they that eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. So that tells us, again, that following the Lord, you're going to be provided for. And now what we're going to do, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11, and see what the prophet has to say about this to the Israelites. Comparing and agreeing, this is what Isaiah told Israel. After the break, we'll be doing.
Everybody could become an expert at anything at a drop of a hat. Would there be any rewards for it? And I think you have the answer even as I ask the question. Got a couple of good buddies. They used to live down in South Alabama. Their names were Bernard Haygood and Jimmy Glenn. One day they're out riding through the South Alabama foothills and they got a little thirsty. Well, Bernard was the driver. He's also the athletic one. So he hopped out of the car. He ran around to this old abandoned pump there in the back of this old farmhouse. And he grabbed the handle of the pump and he started to pump. Now, let me say that when old Bernard grabbed that handle and started to pump, you know, since it was August and brutally hot that day, he was anxious to get some water out. So he really got after it. He was just a pumping away. And after a couple of minutes, he said, Jimmy, you better get that old bucket over there and dip some water out of the creek. He said, we're going to have to prime this pump. All that really means is that you got to put something in here before you can expect to get anything out here. The pump is really saying in another way what we've said so many times, and that is that you got to be and do before you can have. Too many people stand in front of the stove of life, and they say, stove now, you give me some heat, and then I'll put some wood in you. So many times the employee goes to the employer and says, now give me a raise. And when you give me the raise, I'll start coming to work on time. I'll start doing the things you really want me to do. What they're saying is reward me now, and then later I'll perform. That's not the way it works. First, you've got to put something in before you can expect to get anything out. Well, old Bernard wanted to drink water. But the question is, just how much pumping are you willing to do in order to get that drink of water? And after a few minutes, he said, Jimmy, I just don't believe there's any water down there. And Jimmy said, yes, it is, Bernard. You know, in South Alabama, the wells are deep. We're glad they are, aren't we? Because, you see, the deeper the well, the cleaner, the sweeter, the purer, the better tasting the water is. And isn't that another lesson the pump can teach us? Isn't it true that those things which have value, I mean real value, are those things which we have to work for over a period of time? Yes, it's absolutely true. That those things which have value, which have real value, are those things which we make that honest effort to acquire. We work at it and we do a little sweating in the process. And by now, old Bernard is really beginning to sweat. I mean, it's August. It's hot. And finally, he just threw up his hand. He said, Jimmy, there just ain't no water down there. Jimmy said, don't stop, Bernard. Don't stop. If you stop, that water's going to go all the way back down. And then you're going to have to start all over. And isn't that the story of life? Isn't it true that so many people lose out on a lot of effort they've expended in the past? Because they don't do just a little bit more.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Hey, Pete, we have, hallelujah, Pete, we have a question from a listener. Why is the book of Enoch not in
our Bible's canon.
Okay, that is a superlative question. And I will start off by telling the listener that there are more canons than just the one that we have, all right? Our canon, we can consider the Protestant canon. Then there is a Catholic canon, and there are several others. In fact, there's an Ethiopian canon, and the Book of Enoch is in the Ethiopian canon, and it's a Christian canon. Now, it's not in the Catholic canon, and it's not in the Protestant canon. And I can only share this with you, that those who compiled the books at that time of the canons, there are 66 books in the Protestant canon, there are 78 in the, or 70 plus in the Catholic canon. It was decided by those who compiled it that the Book of Enoch did not fit. Now, your guess is as good as mine, my precious listener, the reason why. But it is in the Ethiopian canon, and I will say that the Book of Enoch is legitimate. I'm going to add a little more to this. Paul, before the canons were even formed, Paul, his writings were before the Gospels even were written. Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in all righteousness that will make the individual full. Now, that being said, the Book of Enoch is good scripture. Okay, that's my answer, my brother, or my precious listener. Any more, Chris?
Nope, that's great. Thank you. The listener said thank you.
Okay, praise the Lord. Here we go, continuing with Jesus feeding the 4,000, and we know that the parable or the reason that this is included in our lesson is because those who follow the Lord shall be provided for, as it was with the feeding of the 5,000. And this is what the prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 10 and 11, has to say about this feeding. Comparing and agreeing, this is what Isaiah says. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. What Isaiah is saying, and God is saying to Isaiah, that if you are doing the will of God, you will be provided for. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters, that this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, come unto me, ye who are heavy laden and labor, and I will give you rest. That means nourishment. So if you are following Jesus, then you will be provided for. That's the key. Okay, now let's go to the next instruction.
I found out that the greater the faith, the deeper the disappointment. When you really believe in something, and this is why some of you don't expect much out of life anymore, it is your defense mechanism against disappointment. Because if you don't venture out, you don't have to be vulnerable. Hope is very vulnerable. Faith is very fragile. It puts you in a place where you're actually expecting something. And as Peter stood there considering the cost of discipleship in the shadow of the cross, it shot through his central nervous system that this was the end. And he's not with the women. Neither is James. Neither is John, for that matter, or Bartholomew. There were plenty of people who could have been with them, but they weren't. And so now the women, they got their spices. They're not talking much. It's not a happy processional, but they're on their way. And on their way, they realize, hey, wait a minute. When we get there, we can't do what we need to do what we came to do. Because we have spices, but we're not strong enough. Have you ever felt like there was something in your way? Now, it could be depression. It could be addiction. It could be genetics. It could be your history. It could be your mental conditioning. Have you ever felt like there was something in your way that no matter how great or how high your faith would rise or become, there was something in your way, some stone in your way? I love what the Bible says, because the women are walking and they're worried. Well, you can't do it. Well, you can't do it either. Well, Mary, you should have. Well, don't tell me what I should have done, Salome. I'm not the one whose mom named her after a deli meat. You should have done it. You should have thought, where's Peter? But instead of resenting who wasn't with them, they asked the question, who will roll the stone away? I got good gospel news this Easter. God is already working out what you're worried about. God already has your miracle in motion if you will take a step in faith. The Bible says when they got there, not only was the stone gone, but there was a young man, most theologians believe because of the synoptic gospel accounts that confirm the report, that this was an angel who had not only rolled the stone away, but sat down on it. Now, the reason he sat down is not because he was tired. This angel did CrossFit and had excellent cardiovascular conditioning. No, this angel came down, rolled the stone, and sat down because in Jewish custom, when a teacher got ready to teach, they sat in a seat of authority. So the message is this. What you thought you couldn't get through, I'm already over. What you thought you couldn't do has already been done, and all power, are there any Easter people in this section? And authority belongs to Jesus. And I believe stones still roll. I believe God is working on what you're worried about. Why would you stay up late crying about? See, we don't understand a lot of times what's happening as we're walking. What's happening as we're walking. Matthew gives us a detail that Mark omitted, because he said that at some point while these women between 3 and 6 a.m. in the darkness of despair, doubt, and disappointment, this is the atmosphere of the text, and in their great frustration because of their lack of strength and ability, while they were walking, God was working. While they were walking, God was working. Watch the second verse of the last chapter of Matthew. It's a different ending. It's a little bit of a different detail that we don't get in Mark's gospel. It says that, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat down on it. The angel was already on the way while the women were walking to the tomb. And I dare you to look at somebody and say, your angel is already on the way. So don't stress out about it, and don't you dare turn around and go back home. Because while you're worrying, God is working. God does some of his best work in the dark. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not in progress. Can't end like this. You think God would let these women get all the way to the tomb and let a stone stand in their way? God says, when you do what you can do, I will do what you cannot do. I'll help you raise those kids. I'll help you stay married to that man. I'll help you make it through another week. I'll help you. Help is on the way. That's Easter.
Hey, Pete, we have a listener that has a question. He says, Jesus had cast a demon out of a believer, a farmer's son, I think it was. When the demon came out, Jesus saw Jesus, and they ran the herd of pigs into a herd of pigs. And when the pigs ran down out off the cliff and drowned, why would Jesus let the farmer lose his pigs?
Okay, so I see where this is going, and I'm ready to answer the question. All right. Now,
all right.
The reason that I'm thinking, I have no direct knowledge, no biblical knowledge of why Jesus let the pigs drown. Now, this is what I am sharing with you. Do you know that the swine was a forbidden meat for the Israelites? God said that they could not eat pigs, all right? And so when the demon came out of the human and asked to go into the pigs, it was in line with what God detested or wouldn't allow. So that's what I'm saying is the reason that Jesus allowed the pigs or the demons to go into the pigs, because the pigs were not sacred. They were verboten.
So yeah, that's my answer. I agree, and I also think it's a significant thing, because the pigs at the same time sometimes were the town's bank, you know, the farmer's money and all that. And I think Jesus wanted them to know, too, how much one soul was worth to him to save. You know, I think.
Good.
How much that one soul was worth to Jesus, how much one soul is worth to him. So,
yes.
So I wanted to add that too. So,
well, that's a good addition. See, the point is Jesus didn't answer that for us. He left that open to discussion. And as long as the discussion is positive, then it is receptive to Christianity. Now, when it is negative, then it's not. So that's what the listener has to understand, that the reason that he did it was a positive reason. And so we have to take positive understandings or positive, keep the discussion positive on why he allowed that to happen. So that's the extent that I can give. Okay.
Amen.
So we're ready to continue.
Yes, the listener says thank you.
Hallelujah. Okay. We are now at the last input, and we're almost out of time. So I'm going to have to just give you the end part point of the kingdom of heaven is like unto many things. And this is what the end point is, that the kingdom of God is everywhere. God is. And God is omnipresent and ubiquitous, meaning he's everywhere at the same time. So the kingdom of God is everywhere. And we know that Jesus said it's inside of us, and then also he said it's outside of us and all around us where man cannot see it. But that is the end of the lesson for tonight. I am so pleased that everyone joined in. And as we sign off, the host and I would like to thank you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.